Today's guest stars in one of Australia's longest running and widely broadcast reality TV shows.
I had to go back out for another person.
This is gold. Harrison's trying out a new rescue technique.
And they were so fascinated about what uni you're going to go to. And they come to, what uni are you going? You going to Otago, you know, or you do law, you do med? I said, no, I'm going to go to Bondi and be a lifeguard. I thought as long as I could get the board to her, then I could leave her with the board and then swim the other 10, 15 metres to the other person to hold them up. And I knew by that time the boys would be backing me up.
You don't do this job, but none of the guys have signed up to be a lifeguard for the money.
Give it up for the celebrity lifeguard, Harrison Reid.
Yeah!
No one's ever lucky. I think the only lucky you get in life is where you're born, and then you make the rest.
Stick around. It's going to be a good ride.
Are we shooting a podcast, Pete, or what? What's going on, man? Are you fucking joking or what? What is
still
that, man?
Running. This donut, Bonnie. It's starting to actually flatten out. I haven't mind.
Dude, I'm not even joking. When I first saw that, I thought you bought that as a prop, you know,
prop for, our guest,
for our guest today, dude. Yeah.
You might be able to save a life or two with it, man.
Yeah. And I thought you'd rock up with the zinc cream, the sunnies, the full shooting match, man.
Nah, all good. We're back, mate.
It's been ages.
Back Sydney. Feels like ages.
She hasn't changed.
She's busy down there in Sydney town.
Turned the weather on and we shed the elephant in the room straight away.
Anything else for me? How was the last time you flew up? You were carrying on about leg room and fucking arm room and all this stuff. Like, are you happy this time?
I was happy this time. I actually sat next to a lady that was, she looked like she was pretty serious corporate operator. I was doing these ones with the eyes to the left, like trying not to get caught to see what was going on. And turns out she was a Victoria police dude. So I then proceeded not to look again and just fucking kept to myself and then left. But yeah, she was like reading.
Straightforward though. That's all I wanted.
Yeah, it was good. It was good, man.
And Benny, shout out to these guys.
Again.
What are we? Are we fourth time up for the year or something? But man, they've been amazing.
Shout out to Meriton Suites, man.
Upgraded us, have given us beds and all this sort of stuff.
I don't want to sound
like
I'm complaining.
Yeah.
But they keep putting us in the same room, dude.
Yeah.
And I don't know. We're going to work on that. I've asked them to flip us to the other side so we could get a little bit more.
Maybe next time. Maybe next time, Benny.
That's what they said last time, dude. No, but shout out to those guys, man, because even Bonnie will say, man, like, nothing's a problem.
Nothing's a problem, man.
It's been an absolute pleasure, man.
You actually booked us two nights this time, which didn't bugger us up.
Are we going to let people into what we were doing just before, Peter? We have robes in a sauna.
We're enjoying the sauna and the hot cold sort of.
Pete was educating me on cleansing.
Hot and cold. Our guests would know about hot and cold. In and out of the water. All right, let's get into it. Welcome back to Australia's number one podcast, We're the Little Fish. We speak to the big fish about town each and every week. Like, share, subscribe. Anyone that's going to get value. Good to have you back, Bonnie. Where you belong, mate. Try and keep those eyes open.
He's the only one in the board shorts, man.
He's a bit sleepy. I don't know why. Gets sleepy, Bonnie. He loves his sleep. today's guest. As if saving lives isn't enough, today's guest stars in one of Australia's longest running and widely broadcast reality TV shows. So we lost one reality star and we've plugged in another reality star. Born and bred from the beach in Christchurch, this Kiwi quickly made a name for himself at the waves of Bondi fleeing the frosty New Zealand winter in 2013. I don't know how much swimming you do in NZ.
I'm going to say something stupid, man.
The water would be cold there. It'd have to be. Ask this guy.
I haven't been to New Zealand. I always think mountains and snow.
Man, I worked in New Zealand for ages, man, like it's got to be cold. If Melbourne's cold, it's got to be cold. I don't know. And Christchurch is South Island, I think. South Island? Yeah, South Island. But while being a lifeguard bestows you a godlike status down under, that's why he's come across here to be a god. Our next guest warns he's had a few bad stories and a few scenes that he won't soon forget. He's one of the stars on Network 10's Logie award-winning series, Bondi Rescue. Give it up for the celebrity lifeguard, Harrison Reid.
Yeah, H!
How are you,
man?
Hey, buddy.
Good.
Dude, we were pumped, man. We've been to Sydney, I don't know, is it two or three times?
Three or four.
And we were like, you know what? how can we come again and not talk to a lifeguard? Yeah. And like, it just does not make any sense at all, you know?
I thought you were being desperate. I thought, you know, the crumbs at the back, we get a lifeguard on here, for God's sake.
Not at all, man. One thing we try and do, we always try and challenge, like, we want to talk to different people from different
variety, industries. Diversity.
Yeah, variety, man. Everyone's dreams are different, man. And it's easy to get caught up and think that everyone's to be a Sparky or a Chippy or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when you find these unique dreams, I tried to get this wrestler. His name's Jonas. So shout out Jonas if you listen. Didn't reply. But he's in the WWE. He's an Aussie guy. You know what I mean? But just really trying to find dudes that are doing, living their dreams, man. And then try and just share those stories, because we just want to inspire others.
Just interesting.
The same. Yeah, it's interesting.
Just interesting to figure out new stuff. Mate, it started in NZ.
I know. Out of all the places, you've got Santa Monica, you've got Bondi, all the beautiful beaches in the world. And it's... In Christchurch, where, you know, the water gets down to about 12 degrees in the winter, you know, there's not much of a summer and there's not much of a population either. The beaches, there's no one there.
No, I was about to say. So there's no lifeguards.
There is. There's volunteer, the surf clubs, which I came through, like the Nippers.
Gotcha.
And then they do like a paid lifeguard program for about 6 weeks over the Chrissy period. And that was pretty much school kids and uni students that do that part. Where I'm from in Christchurch. Mate, it started for me, oh God, I reckon about 6 years old. I had a fascination with emergency services. Like, it was weird.
My wife's got the same fascination to this day, dude. That's weird, dude.
Is that weird?
Yeah, it's very strange, man.
So you're in Sydney now. What's she doing now?
she'd be watching replays of, like, emergency or some, you
Mate,
know what I mean?
That's me. That was me. I loved it. And the weird thing about this, because I was young and, like, I loved my parents and it was probably pretty embarrassing for them, I had this fascination of Baywatch. And so...
Oh, didn't we all?
Exactly. But, you know, like...
I was Pamela.
I watched it for the rescues.
Mm. You're probably the only one.
And the only one. And then I used to go to school. Like, I used to get up. They used to be on Channel 5 about 6 o'clock in the morning. I used to get up then to watch it and then go to primary school. I used to talk to all the guys, all the teachers. And they'd probably think, who's this sicko who's 6 years old? But I just loved it. And then it was embarrassing because we'd go out for dinner. I talked about Baywatch and people look at my parents and go, why are you letting your son watch this? But I was so fascinated by it. And then I you know, I've got photos on my phone when, you know, I was about 7 years old. I used to sit by the pool and put all my teddy bears on boogie boards. And I used to sit out there for hours watching my teddy bears, my little fake lifeguard uniform. And remember Baywatch had those red cans?
Yes.
So I needed one of those. So what do? You break mum's vacuum cleaner, snapped it in half and got some rope. And that was my rescue can. Like, I've just had a passion for it ever since I was young. And every time my parents went on holidays, they had to bring back a new first aid kit for me. Like, it was strange.
That's
always
crazy.
Been
you're
unwavering as
you
well.
You actually
25 now?
28. And you know, just loved it. It was my passion. You know, I went to school just to eat my lunch, but, you know, as soon as school was finished, I'm out of there. I'm at the beach. Yeah. And look, and then how did it start then? Lifeguarding came about, you know, you start seeing about all these different beaches and there was Bondi Rescue, and like, to be a lifeguard, you want to be work at the busiest beach in the world.
So when did the show start? Did you watch the show from New
Zealand? Yeah, I watched it. We used to...
How long has Bondi Rescue been running for? Sorry?
I think this is the 17th year.
Oh, wow.
Long time.
And has anyone been on 17 years? Any of the...
Yeah. Have been. Look for the guys with the most wrinkles.
Tanned up.
But it's crazy. And I they used to do holiday programs back when I was younger. I used to come over from New Zealand and do those. And then I did that about 3 times and they must have been desperate 1 year and gave me a start.
And was that the plan? Was that the goal? And your mum and that were bringing you over to these programs with a goal to get on Bondi?
No, they had no idea. Like, they just thought, you know what, we'll just keep him happy for a few years and hopefully he'll soon grow up, you know. And we did the academy and they go, look, we'd love to offer you a position. And I'm an only child and it broke my parents' heart. They're like, you know, they're, you know, only child's getting shipped off to another place. Lucky it was Australia. It wasn't like in Europe and the other side of the world or something. But it was also at the time as well with the Christchurch earthquakes.
Yes. And so the city was screwed, you know, for a 17-year-old coming into 18.
Yeah.
Looking for opportunity.
Yeah. Well, there was no nightlife and all my other mates, they just dispersed. They're off to universities up in Auckland, Dunedin, overseas. And there was nothing there for the time. Like now it's an amazing place, an amazing city. But for those 5-6 years, there was nothing there. And it was the perfect time for me to get out.
And you were eight, must have been what, 18 or something?
I think I was 16 when the earthquake first ones.
How do you at 16, I guess, like it would have been tough for your parents to see you leave, but how do you at 16 go, oh man, I'm ready. I'm going to move to the other side of the world and I'm just going to go and live my own life, my own way at 16?
I didn't think about that part. I was so fixated on lifeguarding.
That's
like,
crazy.
I just wanted to put that uniform on. And for the first few months, like, and to this day, I'm so thankful for my mum and dad because if I wasn't an only child and had a brother or sister, there's no way I'd be here right now because the support they've given me, they would have had to do the same thing for them. So you couldn't have done it. And, you know, they sacrificed a lot for me to, you know, to have this opportunity. They came and they came first before I came over with them and found, you know, went to all the open inspections to find, you know, rentals and all that, which is a nightmare in Sydney in itself.
Yeah.
And obviously coming from Christchurch where it's cheap, you know, Sydney's off its head and it's got worse since then. And they're going like, oh my God, like this much for a shoebox? Like this would give you a bloody house and a pool in Christchurch, you know? And at the time when I was coming over to one of the other lifeguards, Maxie, he was moving out and he reached out, which was really nice of him. And he took me underneath his wing and we actually moved in together.
And your roomie's still today?
Nah. It was a good couple of years though. It was good fun. And and so it was at that stage where I realized, all right, I've got to learn to cook and I've got to learn to do the washing, do the ironing and all that. And I still can't cook. Thank God for Uber Eats.
So you come over through the academy, get a start, and then you're on the show.
Yeah, so we start on the traineeship,
they won in the same thing.
Yeah, so which we employ, they film in the over the summer period, but start on the traineeship, and you're not actually employed. We're employed by Waverley Council. So, but then for the traineeship, we're actually employed by an external provider and we go and do, once a week we had to go out and do a Cert 3 in health and fitness, sports and recreation, whatever it was. And then we got to work a couple of days a week, but we were fully supervised. Like I was 18 years old, you know, we weren't allowed to go in the buggies by ourselves and, you know, initially and then you can go up those ranks where I went on to a part-time position and then to a full-time. Yep. And next minute it's just like that, 10 years are gone, 10 years of lifeguarding. It's a long time. And,
100%.
And by default, if you land that job through the Waverley Council, when the summertime comes, if you're working as a lifeguard at Bondi, you become part of the show? Is that one in the same sort of thing?
I guess so. Like people have the option to, you know, to not be on it.
So you can still be at a lifeguard and not be on it?
Yeah, I guess so. But everyone's on it. The thing is, though, it's quite funny. Like they only film for 8 weeks of the year.
Yep.
And so we patrol not only Bondi, but Tama and Bronte. Like Tama is one of the most dangerous patrol beaches in Australia. Like it's worse than Bondi. It's a gnarly beach.
Yeah.
And so when you get rotated round, you might only get 2 weeks at Bondi during that filming. And it's just luck of the draw, you know. Like
is it or is it?
Is it luck of the draw though, or do they?
The guys with the wrinkles are making.
yeah. But it depends what happens on the day, you know. Like,
I guess producers as well, right? They're also trying to make good content and make a show. So
yeah, but the thing is, it's not. They every now and then we used to do pranks and all that back in the day. Not to that extent because. You know, you see reality TV shows where, you know, that's what Bondi Rescue was.
Yeah.
And then you had something like Married at First Sight comes in. That was still classed as reality TV when it's not, you know.
Where it's
so scripted.
You know, pushing things.
Manipulating it. Yeah.
Where with us, you can't do that. Like,
you got to wait for the rescue.
You've got to wait for it. Yeah. And, you know, you can't stage it. You know, there's nothing you can do. So, When it comes down to that, I remember this about 3 years ago. When we first went into lockdown, they filmed that year and like they were scratching. There was nothing happening, you know. For us, you don't want anything bad to happen to people. But, you know, when you're busy, there's people around. You know, that's why we do the job. We love helping people. You know, we get, you know, that it's a full, you know, it's a full vibe down there. And so it's definitely a struggle. But like this summer, like I'm this is the first year I've gone casual. I haven't been down there very often working, but like it's been on for the boys. Like they've been busy. You know, the borders are open now.
Yeah.
We had that La Nina kind of weather pattern. We had rained for the whole summer for the last two summers, but now I've just had great weather. It's been on.
Yeah, yeah, it's chockers. So borders open up, people come in, and away you go. I was going to ask, so lifeguarding, you know, today we mucked up the timing because you had to go into a shift.
Yeah.
Yesterday, can you talk us through, like, what would happen yesterday? Like, what went down? Because the boys that were supposed to work today couldn't work today. That's where you had to go in. You know, what did that look like for them?
Mate, it's stuff happens all the time down there. There was an unfortunate incident. I'm actually not aware, I wasn't there yesterday. You know, there was a, there was a resus down at North Bondi. And,
gotcha.
You know, the boys were involved and, mate, they had the best day, you know, everyone around, nothing really going on. Then at the flick of a switch, you know, you get thrown into a situation like that. And credit to all the guys, like, you know, we've got the best job in the world. You know, we've got the best office. We go to the beach.
Yeah,
like,
I know. It's
how,
crazy.
How good's that?
It's crazy. Yeah.
But also, you know,
yeah,
the training we have and the quality of lifeguards we have are amazing. And, you know, when shit does go wrong, you know, they're the guys you want there because, mate, that's straight into it.
Yeah, you earn that office.
Yeah.
You know, it's all well and good to sort of say, hey, you go to the beach every day.
Yeah.
But when you've got someone out there and, like you said, you've got someone dying.
High precious
dying in front of you on the beach and it's up to you.
Yeah.
Like, you guys earn that stuff.
But it's the same. Like, you look at emergency services. Like, you look at AMBOs, police, fireys, doctors, nurses.
Yeah.
Incredible people. Yeah, and the thing is, though, you know, there's a film crew that does follow us, you know, for about a couple of months in the summer, you know, and look at these guys. They just get hammered and they, you know, they don't get the recognition they deserve. They are amazing people and they just cop it. You know, like we have a few incidents every now and then, you know, some days it's on and on. But like, imagine the nurses and doctors at St. Vincent's Hospital
relentless. It's just non-stop. Relentless revolving door of issues and trauma coming through the door.
Crazy.
Where, like you said, you guys can probably go a couple of days or something, you know, and nothing really goes down.
So, you know, and I think that's lifeguarding. And the way I describe lifeguarding is quite funny because, you know, it's a big day down at the beach. You know, even though it's good, but it's still exhausting. And the way I describe it is because you are always watching.
Yeah.
Right? Like, people come down, they say, like, look, you know, I'm talking to people, but I'm still, all right, I'm watching the rips and all that. And you know, when you go on a long car drive, say, for example, you go to, so Sydney to Byron, and I don't know, 8 hours, however long that is, and you've been sitting in your car and you arrive and you are cooked. You're exhausted. And it's because you're scanning, you're on the road.
Yeah, because you're dialed in.
And that's us. Like, you're always dialed in at night. You're just exhausted. And, you know, that's why we do it. Like, it's our bread and butter. But, you know, it's that up and down. It's like, you know, look at firefighters. You know, you might see them in the morning, you know, at the coffee shop, say hello. Mate, you don't know. 2 hours before, they've probably just been the biggest fire up the road. And you wouldn't even know about it. You know, you don't know what people are going through. So I think doing this job has been the best thing for me, just to make me more aware and how to deal with people. Like, customer service is massive.
Yeah.
Like, that's 80% of our job, just dealing with people.
Just dealing with people, little problem, big problem, whatever it is, you're just communicating with mental everyone
health
out there.
Drug addiction, mental health, crazy. Like, it's all down on the beach, isn't it? It's all sort of happening.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
It's down the beach. And the other thing as well, a cop told me this, and it's the best advice I've ever had. Like, it's, you know, when you deal with someone, like, you might deal with this person and he's probably been through the worst thing you could ever probably imagine.
Yeah.
And then you probably see some old lady, and then the worst thing that's probably happened to her is, you know, the neighbors having a party down the road and, you know, it's keeping her up at night. And so, you know, the police, they go to that. But for her, that's the worst thing that's happened to her. And you've got to come down and deal with each person individually.
Yeah.
And saying he goes back to old mates, been, you know, had just trauma, you know, he's probably, you know, you don't know, he's been stabbed or something. They're dealing with that. It's nothing compared to what she's going through, but she doesn't know any better. So it's learning to deal with people. And that's why I think it's made me a better person today, is just respecting people.
Each person. And treating each person on their own sort of merits and stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, and respecting how they feel regardless.
Exactly.
From the outside if it's... Yeah.
And that's why I'm thankful for doing this job. Like it's made me a better person outside of my workplace, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's right. You can't rock up to the old lady and say, hey, do you know what I just left? Yeah. You for real? You're worried about that. You know what I just left?
Yeah.
Like, how do you walk around just telling everyone that there's always someone worse off and they should lighten up?
Exactly.
Yeah,
So, you know, so the police don't go and do that. They do the same thing. They you know, the way they talk to her and deal with that situation. So, yeah, that's one thing I've definitely pulled away from being a lifeguard.
You mentioned before bread and butter. That's your bread and butter. For me, like, was super pumped for today is to have this conversation. Like, I didn't realize that it was an actual profession, right? That you could make a living, right? It's probably the best way that you could make a living being a lifeguard, mainly because I think my assumption was it's seasonal. So, you know, it's a part-time gig. It's maybe some good swimmers, some young kids at, you know, 18, 19, 20. At what point did you realize that it actually was a profession? And I guess is it a good living? Does that make sense? Is it something that you can get ahead, or do you need a bit of a side hustle? You need something to do in the winter? Do you know what I mean? Like, is it, when you say full-time job, you're a full-time job. It's, you're making a proper living and you're working 5 days a week.
And the beach is open all year round. You've got shifts all year round.
Pissing down rain and no one's on the beach. Like, what are you guys doing?
Well, like, you don't do this job, but none of the guys have signed up to be a lifeguard for the money.
Yeah.
Like, it's for the lifestyle. And, you know, it's been down at the beach. You know, the guys love surfing, days off and go surfing. We're in that environment. You know, a lot of the guys who are from Sydney or from the area, you know, they go down there, they see their mates and all that. It's, you know, it's a great...
It's a full lifestyle. Yeah,
it's a full lifestyyle. I was aware of it when I was younger. We used to go on a holiday to Hawaii. And this is when I had a Baywatch t-shirt I brought there. And I used to sit outside the lifeguard tower and just sweep the stairs for the bloke, you know. It was the best holiday. The parents didn't even have to get a babysitter. They were like, sweet.
Yeah, no club or whatever they call it.
Where's Harrison? I was just down by the lifeguard tower. And then, obviously, you know, we used to go on the Gold Coast, like for New Zealand. Gold Coast, like the Bali for Australians, you know, or the Kiwis go there.
Yeah.
And... And like, that's when you saw these full-time lifeguards. And when I got older, and obviously for volunteering in New Zealand as a lifeguard, we did that paid lifeguard gig for that 8 weeks over the Chrissy break. And we actually, we worked with a few guys from the RNLI who are lifeguards in the UK. And so they would work in the summer over there, then come to our summer in New Zealand. Yep. And so they were just having an endless summer. Like, how good's that?
That's awesome.
Chasing beaches.
Exactly.
Chasing the sun.
Yep.
Have you got any stories for us? You know, what's a big one that you're involved in, or a big one that you were like, big day today?
Yeah, look, you have those days. I remember you, like, there's days, and I think every lifeguard around the world at busy beaches wouldn't have this moment. You walk out and you just go, what just happened today? Like, how did we not lose anyone? It's crazy. We're so fortunate, Bondi, that it's a dense beach, highly populated. There's so many people down there.
Yeah.
Locals, you know, surfers, people walking the beach. And if something does go wrong, like, you know, on a busy day, you know, they've got 7 lifeguards down there, you know.
I was going to say, how many 7 lifeguards?
7 lifeguards.
8,000 people there today, but that's not a... You said it wasn't even busy.
Yeah, 8,000. And then on the weekends, we get the volunteer lifesavers. So they come down too, and they do an amazing job. You know, there's 2 surf clubs, North Bondi and Bondi Surf Club. And, mate, they are just relentless. They're just on there, just herding people between the flags, and they're not even getting paid. They're doing that on their own back, which is amazing.
Mini Harrisons.
Mini Harrisons, exactly. Yeah. And, so there's days you walk out of there and you just go, what? How do we not?
And so it was that busy that it was like cans rolling off the table and you're just catching them like constantly day, like, and just trying to keep everything alive.
We put the jet ski in. The jet ski's doing rescues, and it's also, as well as I was saying, it's about the members of the public, like the amount of lives they save, like Australia, around the world, but I'm speaking at Bondi, are amazing, the local surfers. Like, the amount of lives that would be lost if it wasn't for them would be incredible.
Because we can't be everywhere at once. Yeah. And then they just happen to grab someone, put them on their boards until we get out there after hours. Like, we finish at 7. It's still light till 8:30. People go in. And they are incredible people. So, back to it. Like, it's... We have these days where we know that the members of the public have helped us out. You know, we've done big rescues. And it's, which is fun. That's why you do it. You know, it's, you look at the forecast, you know, right, we've got an outgoing tide all afternoon. It's 32 degrees, you know, like, we're going to have 30,000 people down here. It's a Sunday. Like, you know, you're on.
You're ripping them out.
Yeah. But then you also have the days that you're off guard, you know, like, you go, all right, it's all sweet. No one down here. And you get a call, or the next minute you look up and there was just be one head in the corner going out, you know, and it's just, you just go,
oh,
wow.
So like a head in,
yeah,
like
we call it head.
Bobbing up and down.
Yeah, like, so for
in
example,
the rip.
In the tower.
And you,
in the
you know
the
rip's
the
there.
Yeah, and look in the south corner, you're like, what's that little head there against the rocks? It's, you know, it's a lot of, it's, you know, a good lifeguard. Wow. It's all, you know, it's surveillance, just spotting, you know. You might be the best swimmer in the world, you know, you might be an Olympian, but if you can't spot them, you're not going to get them.
You're not going to leave the tower.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be no good, man. My attention span is horrendous.
So, which is pretty fun. Like, there's times there, I remember when I was, years ago, we're sitting there, there was nothing doing. It was pissing down with rain and it was full cabin fever. Imagine 7 or 8 lifeguards and the film crew in there too. So you had the producer and all that in there. So, you know, it was a lot of, you know, shit being spoke, you know, bagging each other, you know, just as you do. It's fun, you know. And I look up and I'm like, is that a car on the beach? I'm like, the guys are like, yeah. And we thought maybe the young kids had it laugh and pushed it down the ramp or something. It looks a bit weird. There's no one down there. So next minute, we're all in the buggies. We were just like, it was, we had an ATV and 2 rhinos and it was just like, you know, banging down there. We're like, what's going on? We're getting close. Like, oh my God, there's a car. And as we even got close, we're like, hold on, flick of a switch. Nah, this is serious. You can see on the promenade down Bondi Beach, that's been smashed and there's tire marks down the hill and there's an elderly gentleman sitting in the driver's seat. We're like, oh no. So from like laughing, going, there's a car on the beach, like, what the hell's going on? Like, only in Bondi. Two boys, we're on, you know, and, you know, the elderly gentleman had a medical episode. He's coming down South Bondi and there was a place called Moo Burger and he crashed into the seats, like where people sit outside. Luckily it was a rainy day. There was no one there. Veered off down the hill, launched, cleared the promenade and landed on the beach.
What? Airborne.
Like, it was going so quick that,
yeah,
like,
just, you know, and
it's like a good 10 meters away from the promenade. Like, crazy. And then, so, you know, you go into full mode, all right, you know, it's, what's the medical episode he's had? Also, as well, like, going from that distance to a standing stop, you know, that's a spinal. So, you've got to treat it as a spinal. We're going through all this. And we're also dealing with, did he hit anyone up
who's
on the road?
Who's up there?
Yeah, up on the road.
In a split second.
Yeah,
too.
So... And obviously, you know, we're so lucky being in the city, you know, emergency services get to us so quick, thank God, you know, because you think about down, imagine being down the coast like an hour, you got to wait for a helicopter or something, you know, we've got this, these resources at our fingertips. And and they went off to hospital, made a full recovery and no one got injured. And the next day, it was like, you know, high 20s. Beach was packed.
There's a
promenade.
Car.
They got the car off the beach. But that was the next day. He would have cleaned out people sitting outside the cafe, sitting on the hill.
Yeah.
Like, and that was a reality check for us. Like, it's just, some things happen. You're like, oh my God, how is everything? How is everyone?
How
okay?
Did that,
yeah.
Yeah. Because you guys just, yeah, you guys
there
have seen
to have been
it.
Some fatalities and stuff over the years, has there? Like, I'm tipping there's been many drownings, would there?
Yeah,
or
you know,
not,
what?
There's not as many.
There are, you know, drownings. We're you know, pretty lucky for how busy the beach is.
Yep.
You know, people think, you know, you tell them, you know, if we have a drowning, you know, like, you know, once maybe every 4 years or something. But
is that roughly?
Roughly,
that's
like, okay.
That is awesome.
Considering
how many
people there. But that's because... For the people around us as well, like the lifesavers, you know, the members of the public, the
surfers,
amazing lifeguards
yeah.
I work with, the surfers, you know, just to hold them up. You know, you look at it, you know, this summer has been horrible for drownings. Like once a week you look at the news and there's been a drowning, you know, and it's always someone actually going out to help someone.
Yeah.
But a lot of it, it's at isolated beaches.
Yeah.
Because it's always up or down the coast.
Yeah.
You know, and...
And my boss Hoppo and with in conjunction with Waverley Council and Randwick, they're doing this new campaign called Float to Survive.
Yeah.
Because when people go into a rip, and it's quite funny, like happens at Bondi. So the rips, say we've got the famous backpackers rip. It's flat. There's no waves breaking there. So people go down, they go, oh, that's where I'm swimming. I'm not going to go on the waves. Yeah. That's that deep water. So when you've got a rip is, you know, when the water comes in, it needs to go back out to sea. So it comes across on the sandbank and that's where the waves are breaking. So that's actually the safest place to be. And then, but people don't go near the waves. So they go, I'll go on the flat, but that's the water going out to sea. And that's the thing. So, you know, there's messages, you get in trouble, put your hand up, which is a great thing to do. We can identify you. But what happens if there's no lifeguards there? You're down, up or down the coast.
Yeah.
The worst thing and what happens with drowning is panic.
Yes.
Panic kills.
Yeah.
It is gnarly. Like I've been in one situation where we're doing a rescue and I lost, surf was huge and I lost my board and I was with this lady and luckily one of the other guys came out and with the board and I'm just trying to hold her up and just getting waves over the head and I'm, you know, panic semi starting to set in for me. And I actually, when I got back to the beach, I actually had to really check myself and go, all right, hold on. You know, that's what drowning feels like.
Yeah.
You know, the girl's fine. And I'm lucky because whatever happens, I know there's always someone watching me. Yeah. But back to it. So this
float. So is that your mates in the tower?
They're
watching me. That you know, whatever happens, communication's massive.
Yeah, they're
for
on
us.
The talkies and stuff. Yeah. Got another one down
but float to survive is massive because, you know, it's all well and good putting your hand up, but if you're up and down the coast or if you're in a river, if you're at a lake, and you know, no one's going to see you for a long time. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And that's why you just need to lie on your back. And just relax, deep breaths. And if you just kick in a circle of motion, use your arms, keep your head above water, just control your breathing. That's going to
conserve the energy. Panicking. Yeah.
And if you can, that's when you put your arm up.
Yeah.
But if you go in like and just start, you know, then you get a bit of water in your mouth and you think that's it. And it goes downhill very quickly.
Yeah.
So that's why we really get that message out. Float to survive and just don't panic. Yeah.
And if you're in a rip, isn't the idea you got to just ride it out, potentially ride it out to where the rip finishes and then make your way around.
It's like people think you're in a rip, it's going to take you all the way to New Zealand.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm not being funny. That was my assumption.
Yeah, no,
not
it's true.
Not necessarily New Zealand, but wherever.
But it only takes you out to where the waves stop breaking.
Yeah.
So it could be only 5-10 meters. It could be 50 meters. But normally when you go out with it, it will take you back around.
And then you shoot across?
Yeah.
And
then you try and come back. That's the thing. In. You see, you shoot across all these different things where, you know, you might be at a beach where it might be, you know, the rip might be different or you might have rocks and you can't shoot across.
Yeah.
And that's why we want to teach
people. How's me? Just shoot across.
You know, float to survive and just let the water take you.
Yeah.
And just obviously
I've never heard that
energy.
Message, but how has that message not been out there before?
I know.
Fucking makes no sense.
Amazing.
To me.
Amazing.
Because you remember McDonald's, right? Oh, no, sorry, the fire. Get down low and go, go, go.
Yeah.
I know, and I've known my whole life. If there's a fire, I'm getting down low and I'm go, go, go.
It's like earthquakes. Get under, you know, in the middle of the doorway.
Yeah, man.
And every earthquake back we had in Christchurch, you think I did that? Nah. I sat in bed and just shit myself and go, Jesus, is this going to fall down?
You being a Christchurch boy, that's probably why you know that. I'd never heard that.
Well, that's got the beam and the structure above it.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah. But going back to that, so float to survive.
Yeah.
How are we in 2023? And that not being, if that's the, because I've always thought that you swam on an angle.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not, but my
but if
mind,
the sandbank's there and you, like, then when they panic, they go, well, what angle do I swim? Do I swim that way?
Yeah.
And the rip might be coming in a diagonal. So you swim, actually end up swimming against the rip more. You know what I mean? And get even more tired.
And if you're not aware of the ocean and how it breathes and moves. So just lay on your back.
Yeah, just relax and conserve energy. And put, then when you can do that, you put your arm up and hopefully someone will see you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big so what message. Is it, a TV campaign or?
It's just, you know what, it's a few of the older lifeguards going, drowning's getting out of control and it's avoidable. Yeah. You know, it's seriously, you know, 90% of the time it is. And we need to do something about this. So it's a very good message.
100%. Is the rip the big one?
Yeah.
The rip's the one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you go in for a day's work and you go, where's the rip today, boys? Or
yeah. So we work from 6 a.m. till 7 p.m. And so we get to the beach and the boys are sitting up. They go, right, we're going to hit the flags there on a good sandbank.
Yep.
Put the signs on each rip. and go from there. But that might not be there for the whole day. You know, they're changing. The conditions forever change. It depends on the tides going in and out. You know, the sandbank might start to get, you know, a bit horrible in the high tide. We're going to pull these flags. All right, guys, go up to the northern set of flags. It's forever changing. You're always having to adjust the conditions because it's Mother Nature.
Yeah,
and then you've got to move everyone with the flags, right? Yeah,
it's like herding sheep.
Flags are gone, guys. Pack up your shit.
And you know why? I reckon you know why. It's for me anyway. Why it's hard for me to connect because we're from Melbourne, right?
Yeah,
and we're from the city, and I grew up going down the surf coast and stuff. But it's just not like that down there.
Well, Melbourne's built on a bay. But then you go down to your beaches and that sort of thing. But
gets rough down.
You go down Phillip Island.
But even Torquay and stuff, right?
Bells Beach.
They don't have lifeguards down Bells Beach.
No.
You know what I mean?
They don't have Jan Juck.
Or Jan Juck. Nah, well, not when I grew up. And that's why I didn't know that lifeguards was a profession. Because I was like, I grew up going to Jan Juck, going to the surf coast down. I lived in Lorne for a bit, man. I've never seen a lifeguard.
Yeah, true.
And there's surf clubs of volunteers on the weekends. They do an amazing job. Yeah. There's also, you know, Monday to Fridays.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, that's what I mean. So I didn't know it was a profession because my assumption was it was just the 18 or 16, 15, 16, 17 from the swimming club.
Yeah.
They get down there on the
home
weekends.
Home and away. Al Stewart comes down and rounds them up.
Did that form part of your dream when you were
younger? So I couldn't get a home and away. So Bondi Rescue is the next best thing. No, I'm kidding.
Mate, home and away could still be on the card.
Is that still on?
Good looking young rooster. Home and away.
One of the boys I work with, Whippet, he was actually in Home and Away when he was younger, Sam Marshall. Quite funny. You look at pictures of him when he was on it and his kids look exactly like him. It's pretty cool.
So you said 28 now, you've been doing it 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, are you going to be one of those old wrinkly guys?
Yeah.
Hopper, did you call him?
Hopper? Yeah, Hoppo. Like, Hoppo's actually pretty good. Reedy,
well, we nearly had Reedy, didn't
nearly
we?
Nearly had Reedy. As I was saying, you know, he had to pull out last minute and go up the coast and he rang me and goes, mate, can you do me a favor? I don't want to leave these guys hanging. And I go, yeah, mate, sweet. I've actually never done a podcast before. I'm like, yeah, this would be a bit of fun. And I spoke to guys on the phone. I'm just like, how good is this? Reedy's gone. It's like, you know, you're at the airport.
Subbed him in.
And, you know, they give you like, oh, it's Mr. Reed. Would you like an upgrade? Oh, yes, please. Same as you guys. You get the upgrade today.
get the penthouse. But yeah, you're going to be one of those old guys on the beach. Sorry, shout out other Reedy, old Reedy.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? One of those good-looking roosters.
What else is he going to do, dude? He goes to the beach every
day. Yeah, no, it's just a question. Like, is this going to be you?
How can you ever do anything else, man?
So I'm casual now, and I've just launched my own bedding brand, mattress.
Oh, give it to us, man. We're a business.
We've got a little entrepreneur here.
Talk to us, man. Definitely. So it's my family sell beds in New Zealand in Christchurch.
Yep.
So it's my father Kevin's been doing it for 40 years.
Do they manufacture and sell?
It's New Zealand made. The beds are made by the Comfort Group there. And, you know, they do an amazing job and just good quality materials. And I've been so fortunate. I've had a great bed all my life. So when I go, you know, stay at a mate's place, like I'm the bed snob. I go, really? Is that your pillow? Jesus.
Yeah.
So this kind of came about and... you know, like I love lifeguarding. I thought, you know what, it's time for me to do something different.
Yeah.
And we kind of looked at it and I had a bit of a social media following and I was going to go back eventually to Christchurch and sell mattresses there with dad.
Family business.
Yeah, exactly. And then
the prodigal
obviously
son.
over here is, you know, mattresses that come in a box.
Yeah, the koalas. Yeah. And what are the other ones?
There's 70.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so many. But all of them are probably about 95% are made in China.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you don't know really what's going into it over there. And and we looked into it. I thought, well, why don't we, you know, like mattress in a box isn't as big in New Zealand as here. Like, what if I just, you know, do something here and sell it and I could still maybe, you know, for the time being, get up and running, I could still lifeguard for a bit. So we looked into it a bit more and we teamed up with Dunlop Foams who are here in Australia. And, you know, we came up with three amazing mattresses made here in Sydney. And
you were part of the engineering, all that, figuring it all out.
No, so that was when I was staying out of that. It was with them and my father, Kevin, who's had the field.
The guru.
So he was working and... And John Gamardos, who works Dunlop Foams, he's been awesome through that process and just really nailing it and getting it all right. And these beds are truly amazing. I went through the marketing process of, you know, building the brand and having a bit of fun, which I really enjoyed.
That's my favorite part as well. So what is the brand, out of curiosity?
The brand's called 10 PM.
I was wondering.
Yeah, 10 PM. And it's, you know, you have to go and buy a mattress. You're like, it's a full grudge purchase. You're like, far out.
Yeah.
Most people, if I speak to the guys at work, they have to go and buy a bed. It's on a Sunday. They're going to be hungover and their partner's dragging them out. Yeah, and they just want to go and sleep on as many mattresses as they can. They don't care. Just get in, get out.
Yeah.
And so I want to make buying a mattress fun. And that's, you know, and the prices we have are competitive, if not better, than a lot of the big brands already here. And our ones are made in Australia. So you've got quality.
So you're manufacturing and selling, or you've partnered with those guys?
Yep. So we've got the manufacturer.
And
they
you've
do
got
the manufacturing.
Exclusive rights.
They do the manufacturing, and we've just started our brand, 10 PM.
Yep.
And it's just a Metro Sydney to start off with. And
is it a roll up?
Roll up.
Box.
Comes in a box.
So it's e-com.
So
yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And there's and for me, part of it, I'm like, I want to take part of me from the beach and tie it in with that.
Absolutely.
And I don't know if it was like this when I was younger, but I'm definitely more aware of it as the rubbish that gets washed up on the beach. Like it's horrible. Like, yeah, you know, the bottles and all that, or people leave their mess there. Like that really shits me. Like
that's your home. That's your workplace.
Exactly.
And it's like rocking up.
How would I go to their backyard and just go acting my rubbish? Like, yeah, like that, guys. Yeah, you like that, don't you? Like, you know, like it's just disrespectful. So there's this company called Sequel, and they make all yarns and all this from recycled bottles pulled from the ocean. So our mattresses, say our queen size mattress, has a Sequel yarn in it, and it's got 29 plastic bottles pulled from the ocean.
Oh, dude.
Incorporating the yarn, which is bloody cool.
Who was that we made?
Danny Pally.
From Ina Pally.
The Fufa.
Yeah, the Fufa they made.
Fufu.
Made it, well, they were out of plastic bottles, so made
like they were like rabbit skin or whatever it was.
Yeah,
fox fur. That's
it's like fox fur, but fake, made out of plastic bottles from the ocean and stuff, man.
Yeah, I think she was 60 bottles per jacket or something.
And these are like, this is like high end fashion. Your missus would know who Ina Pally is.
Yeah, like, 500 bucks a jacket, but
that's crazy. That's awesome, man. Yeah.
So, and then for us as well, like we want to have good quality product. Like, we don't have the budgets that these companies do. Like, the money they have is crazy what they throw at advertising.
Mm.
But we know our product is the best out of anyone. And so, it's going to take a good two years to get it up and running and just getting the product out there. And it's going to be that word of mouth. That's the thing. Because people go, wow. Like, honestly, you line up. Even, you know, we got one of the beds sent back to one of the stores in Christchurch. Like, Dad's been working there 40 years. They have a salesman for 20 years and all that there. They put our mattress on there, and there was a bed next door to it that was retails for about $4,000. And this mattress was just as a good a feel as that one. And this one is for
$1,999.
So you're rolling them up, like how, like the box, like you're rolling these up, you got all the springs in them, or is it springs?
Yeah, yours got springs in it.
Our top of the line's got a spring in it, a pocket spring.
What?
Amazing.
And are you doing like with both sides of the bed? Because you can
adjust the feel.
Yeah. So I know the one we got, I can't remember what the brand was, but don't sound like they're anywhere near you guys, but she could have a firm on her side and I could have a soft.
Yeah, no, we don't have those at the moment, but it's definitely will be in the pipeline.
Yeah.
But this bed's the most amazing feel. And for this process, we want to make it simple. When you go and buy a bed, you go to the retail store, you go on the website, the shit they talk about, they just blow smoke up it, and it's not true. You know, they try and confuse you. And we came into this, and with the help from, you know, Kevin, and he just goes, we need to make it simple, the website simple, and just
clean,
just everything. You go onto our website, it's just so simple. And so we've got three mattresses. You've got our entry point 1001, then we've got the 1002 and the 1003. 1003 is the top of the line. The 1002 and the 1003 have the temperature management system in it. And this thing's amazing. It's called Thermobalance. So all the other mattress companies, they go, oh, it's, you know, it's got cooling and all that. Now, the reason why they call it cooling, because they've got open cells in their foam. It does nothing, but they go, oh, it's open cells. The mattress can breathe. That's cooling.
Yeah.
We've got this technology that comes out. It actually had to come out from America in a refrigerated container. And it's a It's a membrane on the top. So it's on the 1002, the 1003, and it disperses your heat. So the ideal sleep conditions, you know, sleep between 27, 33 degrees. If it gets any hotter, that mattress, it disperses heat around the mattress. What? It is an incredible technology. Like,
that is wild.
Amazing.
So it keeps us on hot nights, cool nights.
Yeah, yep, which is perfect for Australia.
It's regulating.
So it's fluid temperature.
Yeah, crazy. Like, and it blew my mind. Like, we're working with the guys and they're saying, oh, this one, you know, you can get this. And I'm like, oh my God. And then you like see all these other people and they just talk about the stuff and you're like, oh really? Like, they're just, what, but it's pretty cool.
What's, Hazza, this brings, I've got an issue with my bed.
I've got an issue.
I don't like sleeping in it.
Something going on, man.
I don't like sleeping in it. We got it. What's our first king we got?
Yeah.
So we got a king. We're queening it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got four young kids and the king was, anyway, we're doing a king. So we got the king, but it was from a local place down our way, Ballerine Peninsula. I won't shout them out. But like, they got to flip it all the time and stuff.
Yeah, right.
You got to flip it. And then it's like lumpy. And
what
then
are you
like,
doing, dude?
And if I sleep, man, and it's probably because I was dragged out or whatever it was. I wasn't even that interested, and I was like, just get a mattress, like surely, yeah. Like it's get a new mattress.
It's all about the mattress.
Paying a couple of grand, and surely it'll be a good mattress.
Yeah,
like people aren't dishing up shit, man. I'm sleeping on it. My side's got a lump in it. Ugh. There's like a little mound in the middle where I like roll over and like a wall to get across to the missus. And it's just anyway, it's just shit. And it breaks my heart to go buy a new one because I'm like,
this is the thing I don't understand.
On this one.
I know.
How have we ended up, man? I'm thinking
this,
about
this. Is one thing that I can't get my head.
How
around.
Have I ended up with a shit mattress? I don't get it.
Everyone spends.
I'm gonna love this. Yeah, one, yeah.
People spend so much time of their life, like half their life, sleeping.
Man, I'm with like, you. I'm converted.
Like, if you spend an extra, like, you know,
man,
like,
we didn't skimp though.
Like,
do you know what I mean?
I'll tell you,
you've got to get it right.
Where'd I go wrong,
man? No one. And I mean no one is buying their bed from the local mattress guy. You know what I mean? Like,
he's a born and bred man.
That's my dad. He's a local mattress guy in Christchurch.
These guys are born and bred, man. These guys have been around for decades.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And they're still doing it the old way, man.
How are they still in business?
Because dudes like you are still buying it the old way, man.
Well, the thing with us as well, which we've got the credibility, you can sleep on it for, we've got a 100-night free trial. So you can sleep on it for 99 nights and you go,
so the business takes on the risk.
Yeah, and a lot of the beds, the bed things are doing that on the e-commerce. Otherwise, they're assuming the risk, right?
Yeah.
That's how you get people to take
but
the action.
I can honestly say, like, these mattresses are unbelievable. Like, our entry point, the 1001, you know, it's the queen size 899. You will not send it back.
Do you do it in king?
You do it king, all sizes.
And you can send it down to Geelong.
And you...
I can make some arrangements. We're just in Metro Sydney at the moment, but if you want some, we can always. There's lots of trucks going down there.
Oh man, I'm getting on. Don't worry. Like, this bed, we've got a bed upstairs. We had twin boys, and they're two now. And anyway, so I escape up there to that bed, but half because I don't want to be woken up by the boys, and the other half because it's such a better bed. Yep. So our guest bed queen that was our old bed so much better. This new shit king thing. I'll just try and stay away from it.
Oh. Well, like, the good thing, I've been selling to friends. Like, we've only been going up for the last 3 weeks, and I sold a mattress to this guy. He got the 1003 and the King.
So did you say you've only been selling them for the last...
We've been working on it for a year. We've been up and running for 3 weeks.
Love it. Yep.
So I sold to this guy, and obviously there's family, friends, and all our friends that have brought them around here. And they tell you how good it is. You're like, yeah, sweet. And it's hard to take their word because, you know, they're probably just being nice.
Yeah.
And I got this email. And there's this guy who brought one, and... his wife, Erin, emailed and says, we have never slept so good. And the reason why, he's a tosser and turner and there's no partner disturbance. She cannot
feel the old drop. Yeah. Is that the old drop the bowling ball and the glass of champagne doesn't?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. We're like that. We've got, me and Joe moved into the real world a while ago now, and we're like that. So we're separate. So our mattresses are actually
separate rooms.
No, working towards it. No,
getting there.
No. But we've got I think it's the same master overlay, and I think the mattress is in two. So it's got a foam thing which does the full bed, and then there's a top layer where we both have our own layer which is separated, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And that's how we can go, okay, do you want a hard one and I want a soft one, and I can put it on top and stuff. So
how have you're the biggest That'd be expensive.
No, Joe.
You're
Joe.
The biggest tight ass I know. How have you ended up with one of them?
Frugal. If you saw, we don't have a bed. It's actually on the ground at the moment.
Mate, I think I might have to, you know, get some foam tubes for people like you know. There's something there. Might be my first customer for one of those.
Maybe it's the bed.
I
got
a million
issue.
Questions. Yeah. I love it, man. One of my questions was, you know, did you have other ambitions outside of lifeguarding and entrepreneur sort of stuff or other things that you wanted to do, right? Jumping into, so love the timing of this. Yeah. What would you say was the biggest challenge getting it off the ground? And what do you see as the biggest challenge now that you're 3 weeks in to be able to push it forward?
Yeah. It was a roller coaster. One thing I learned about this, it comes back to lifeguarding, just dealing with people and obviously seeing the worst, like life and death situations, right? And being in those situations. And it's quite funny. So we worked with this agency and they're from Auckland. And we're going through it and they're showing us these colors. And it was actually the color we're wearing today, the yellow 10 p.m. And they showed it to us. You know, when you think of sleep, you think of comfort, like blue, dark colors, warm colors.
Yeah.
And they showed us that. And we were like, I was on a Teams call and Kevin was there. We're like, I'm looking at Kevin's face and he's losing it. I'm losing it. I'm going, fuck this.
These guys have missed the whole.
Like, these guys kidding themselves. This is fuck. And it's, you know, so, like, this is a full journey. And anyway, by the time they started presenting, we just went, screw this, like you guys are stuffed up, pretty much went them. Like it was awkward. Like even I felt bad. And this was on a Friday. So we ended the call and obviously on the phone to Kevin, we're going back and forth, going, this is, you know, what are we going to do? This is fucked kind of thing. Then the weekend came over and, you know, we thought about it for a bit. Oh, it's not too bad. It does stand out, doesn't it? Then I start showing all my mates, what's your thoughts on this? Oh, I love it. It's different. It's different to everything else out there. It's not going to get lost. And I'm just going, yeah, right. Yeah. Come Monday morning, full apology to them. Man. Sorry about my behavior and all that. And,
you are so spot on, dude.
And that's one thing I've learned is I know lifeguarding, you know, you got to make decisions straight away. It can be life and death. But things like this, it's such a difference. Just there's no rush. Oh, thanks, guys. Let us sleep on that. All good. You might, you know, get in touch with them 2 days later, go, yep, nah, that's not the where we want to go down, or it's unbelievable. I think it's taught me how to be patient and coming into a different world where I have no idea. Like, I love dealing with people. But the thing is as well, it's, you know, depends, you know, accountants, marketing, you know, agencies, that's their bread and butter. You know, with me, it's like if I'm a lifeguard, I get pissed off if someone comes up telling me how to do my job. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, hold on, like, whoa. Then I'm being one of those people to them. And I was like, that's why they're the professionals and I'm not, and taking their advice. And
well, you're lucky you did, because
you would love that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, fuck, man. I'll tell you why, man. Branding's my favorite thing. Yeah. We had a branding guy on up here. We flew to Sydney to do Dane Walker, earlier in the year. And he was like one of my bucket list to get on to talk branding and stuff. And you'll have to go and have a listen to that.
Mate,
man.
I will.
And everything you just said then, like, you nailed it. Come out you didn't of, even yeah. mean it.
Because, come out of Dane's mouth.
Man. Because the only way this works, because you said yourself, there's 70 other bed companies selling them in boxes, right?
Yeah.
The only way this works is if you're different.
Yeah.
And you need to look at what color are they using? Right, opposite color. What kind of branding are they? You know, the everything that they are doing.
Even the font, man. I like the font.
The opposite. Yeah.
The font makes me want to go to sleep or something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's the key to being able to stand out in a noisy place. And it takes balls, man.
Yeah.
Because everyone, like, it's hard to go and do the opposite to everyone else because you can see they're all succeeding doing it their way. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
But if you want to break in and you want to stand out and you want to go to the next level, man, yeah, I love it. I love the color. I love the brand.
Really cool.
And I've already been on the website and seen that.
No, it's cool.
Pretty tight.
But, you know, back to it, it's, you know, there's so many players out there and like the money that goes into marketing, like things I'm learning and like I've tried all their mattresses and it's a funny test. So you lie on the mattress and it's nice. You go, how good's this? But if you sit on the side of the mattress like I am now, your ass actually goes to the base because it's that direct pressure. Uh-huh. If you did that with ours, doesn't do that.
you're still getting the comfort.
We've got this foam at the bottom called power support foam. And it is the most amazing foam where it supports you. And that's that quality Australian-made foam that's made here, and there's no janky offshore shortcuts. Like, well, it's
the beauty of that is because it's so busy and it sounds like a full-on digital e-com play, to me. Like, it's a full e-com play, which means you've got to get the crazy product, and then it's all like social, AdWords, and figuring out your CAC, right? Yep. Which is your customer acquisition cost, how low you can get that, because then, you know, and then to get your margin or whatever, and then once you figure that out, it's just, you know, throw fuel on the fire and do it and stuff, man. So I think and that takes to your point.
Yeah,
man, it's fucking hard to take on. The big boys have got these crazy marketing budgets. They already know their CAC, and they can race you to the bottom.
Exactly,
right? They can race you to the bottom. Yep. But I'll tell you where you win. You win by slow and steady by the people, man. If your product is what it says it is, and the what referral, you're saying, it's the referrals, man. Yeah. Yeah. That doesn't slow down. That compounds and that doesn't slow down.
And we know we've got the best product out of anyone. And we're just going to hang on to
and
that.
You can and still beat
it. It's going to grow. It's honestly going to grow. And our prices, like, you look at it, people just wait. They go, they're going to be on sale another 6 weeks' time. They do a big 50% off. Like, we won't be doing those because... we're not making much on it. We're just going quality.
Yeah.
And go from there, you know, like, all right, you know, if families and friends, you know, get 10% off. And I feel embarrassed because we don't have much in it because we just... want everyday best prices. There's no bullshit. It goes with the brand.
Simplified the whole
straight
thing.
Straight to it. Yeah. There's your mattress. It's best no Fugazi. You can go and compare it to the others. You're still going to come back. Plus, it's also made here in Australia. Yeah.
And I tell you what, boys, it's expensive to buy them twice.
Absolutely.
Mm. It's going to be expensive. Absolutely. Unless Haz looks after me.
You've got 10% up your sleeve.
Might double it.
what's a Kingworth?
Kingworth? Yeah. So, like, you want
king,
the 10?
King, like, if I wanted
the
king,
the 10.03?
You're looking at me, I'm about 110 kilos.
I'll tell you now, Harrison, he's a 10.03 every day.
10.03.
What's that at the top of the range?
2,099.
2,099.
For a king.
Yeah, you're doing that.
2,100.
Nah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 2,100. Yeah. That's cheap, yeah.
Cheap. Unbelievable.
That
mattress.
Is cheap, dude.
You know what? If it's the right mattress, it's cheap.
Yeah, it is cheap.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
Because at the moment, I'm nearly up to probably $4,000. For your mattress.
I'll tell you one thing as well. It's
just burns me, man.
Mate, have you had memory foam pillows?
Yes.
Game changer.
Yes, nope. That's where, like, it remembers. Yeah.
But, you know, it's not like your, you know, the fluffy, you know, like feather.
Nah,
you know?
You're saying it's like molds to you and then.
Well, it's just more supportive.
It's like a solid sort of.
Yeah,
foam.
So it's in the foam that's actually in the mattresses.
Oh, that thing going on.
Nah, we've got those, then this is just your normal standard one. Unbelievable. Because I used to get my pillows when I was here. I used to go to Kmart and all that. You get it for like $5. And then you stick with it for like 2 years. And you're like, I'll get one eventually. And it's like, mate, it's like an A4 paper
and
sheet.
And then you pull it out of its thing and it's like yellow.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's how I used to roll back when I was a single man.
I'm still rolling.
and then so we got these memory foam pillows. A mate of mine I work with is also a chiropractor. So he always used to go and see him maybe once every 6 weeks, and we call it the grease and oil change, you know, just get snap your neck, all good to go. I haven't been to see him since I've had this pillow. Like, it's amazing. Like, the technology that's out there, and you even see it now, like, how important sleep is. Like, you see these rings that people wear, the REM sleep.
Are they real?
They're real.
Are they proven? Werdo runs that. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Your mate.
I don't have one. I want to get one. Yeah. And just because it's amazing that deep sleep, how important it is. It might only be 3-4 hours, but you need to get that. If you're not getting that, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You're screwed.
And like, you look at, you know, people go to the gym, they train, they flog themselves.
Yeah.
But if you're not sleeping,
you're not recovering.
Far out.
Nah, it is. It's a real thing. 100%.
I'm the worst sleeper.
Yeah.
I'm just, my brain, it's more of a brain thing than a comfort thing.
Yeah.
My brain's just.
It's at night, thinking, you sit there and it's just running.
100%. And I know when I'm not, I've been dealing with it for many, many years. So I know when I'm not going to be able to sleep. So I don't fight it. I don't get frustrated. I just deal with it. If that kind of makes
sense. Stay up and do some work.
Email Pete.
Yep. 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 Bring it. You awake, mate? Blocked.
Oh, that's good. Anyway,
so
good
I do have another question.
Yeah.
So you were saying, so Metro Sydney at the moment, is there a reason why, because it's e-com, can't you just ship anywhere? Is it, what's the reason?
It's going to go slowly. Like, it's just.
But if someone gets on the website, they can't get on the website.
Yeah, they can website and they could sign up, subscribe, and then if they want to leave a message, like I'm interested in Melbourne or something like that. You know,
so you can't hit the buy now button.
No, there's a postcode blocker through there.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, can you get my postcode?
You know what? So what was the theory behind, I'm fascinated. Yeah. In that. So what was the theory behind that and where did that idea come from to go, hey, let's just block out all the postcodes and just focus niche like in Metro Sydney?
It's 2023 and people expect the best no matter what they're buying. They expect the service,
and you get the one customer shot at it, service. Yeah.
Exactly. There's so much choice out there. And look, we know, as I said, our product's great and I love dealing with people. And if we do this slowly, we'll get there and sort out any teething issues.
So it's taking the risk out of it.
Yeah. 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 Okay. And obviously, you know, if you open it right up and then there's just dramas and all that where you'll be overloaded.
Yeah.
And where now we can just concentrate on one place and do it properly.
And then once you've got it locked.
Once we're confident, we're like, yep, this is just flowing nicely. All right. Then we'll move to this part, you know, open it up. And it's going to be like that. Like, you know, you look at our 5-year plan. Like, you know, we're only going to hit the main cities first, like your high density living, which is, you know, Melbourne, Brisbane, and all these places first. Then after that, we'll start branching out.
Are you AdWords and stuff now? Are you doing any kind of digital advertising, or is it all organic?
Yep. So we're working through that with an agency now, and we've got some really fun campaigns that are coming out.
Yeah,
and I can't wait for you to see them. You love marketing.
Like, yeah, I love it, man. I love it, dude.
There's a couple, like these people.
Are you in them?
This is the same company that's helped you.
This is a different one that we're using. And oh my God, they are so clever. Like, you sit in this room and they just, because they get excited too.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I speak to the guys at work who be lifeguarding and going on about it. And they're like, how can you be so excited over a mattress? But, you know, it gets into your blood.
Have a listen to us. We've been talking about it for 40 minutes. Oh,
man. You get a good one.
You get a lifeguard coming. Oh. Imagine the point.
Oh, we love it, but, man, because it doesn't matter what you're selling. It's, you know, it's just going on that journey and figuring it out, taking risks, dealing with the brand, finding a market.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what we're all about, isn't it? Having a crack, man.
But once the marketing campaign out, I'll send it through to you just to have a look.
Shoot it, man. We'll play it at this.
It's pretty funny.
Shout it out, man.
It's different. But back to it. Like, you know, I couldn't have done this without, you know, the help of some family and some close friends of ours, and also, you know, coming from lifeguarding.
How many founders have you got? How many business owners?
It's just myself in it.
So you're 100%, and then you've got the old man just helping you.
And you know, I tell you what though, there's been a few phone calls with butting heads because you've got that, you know, that old school and the, you know, like,
but that's good, right?
But
you need that, man. If your dad's just fucking nodding his head and agreeing
40
years all the
time. And he's got the experience.
100%. And, you know, confrontation. End of the day,
he's always right. They're always right. 100%. You know, even the times I thought I'm wrong.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. You need that, man. You need that confrontation, man, because that just drives the right result, man.
Might have to pull the shareholders agreement out on him if he gets too cheeky.
There isn't one. So you're not planning on taking investment or anything like that.
No.
You're going to bootstrap this, very slow, take your time, keep saving lives.
You know what? We could catch up in 2 years' time. And we'll probably be still in the same position, still in Metro Sydney, but
still just selling some mattresses, getting some revenue.
As long as it's, you know, we do it properly and we want people to have a great sleep. Yeah. That's it.
How often are you down to the part time? How often are you down on the beach?
It depends. So I've been there twice this week, mainly on the weekends. It's nice to get down there and it's quite funny. It makes, like, you always went to the beach for work. And now it's coming back to be my happy place again.
Yeah.
You know, and it's things I took for granted. Like, it's really special down there, especially in the mornings. Like, the sun's coming up, get the friendly locals' faces, you have a yarn, and like, I miss that. Like, it's nice because obviously now I know people in the industry and betting, so I'm always calling them and punishing them. But you come back to the beach, it's like all right, sweet, I can just reset.
Dude, your office is like one of the most iconic locations on planet Earth. But it's
not just a beach.
But it's,
I mean?
It's
like
bigger.
Bondi Beach.
Massive
is
overseas.
Yeah, it's massive.
It's like Bondi Rescue is not big in Australia.
It is. As the show. Yeah. You mean the show. You got to shout my daughter out because it is for her, Brixton, man. She's back watched every episode.
Why isn't she here? She should be
she
here.
She wanted to come. She wanted to come. Yeah. But just school, man. She's
budget,
in
right. Budget didn't allow.
Yeah, school traffic today is off its head.
Yeah. Wow. So she's year eight, but she was buzzing.
Next time she's down, let me know. We'll meet down at Bondi Beach. That'd be cool.
I'll bring her up.
Yeah, 100%. Please, man. Yeah.
She loves it, dude. But it must be from her mum. Sitting there watching these emergency shows.
100%. I love it. Even remember, like, the
and
New Zealand.
Police, did you like the police ones as
well?
Yeah,
I love
it.
Like, Police 10-7, the New Zealand one. Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, she watches that one as well. Yeah. That's one of the best ones.
And Highway Patrol.
Highway Patrol.
And you sit there and you're like, oh, he's over the limit. You're trying to guess what he's going to be. And he goes, and it goes to an ad break every time. Every time there's an ad break.
I sit there and walk through and go, come on, we're not doing this.
We're doing it.
Full addicted to it, man.
Yeah, that's it's awesome. Like the helicopter shows too. Like it's, mate. We have a few incidents and the chopper pilots come in, and it was just it's incredible watching them. Like even the same with the paramedics. Like take their hats off them. What they know, and they go through shit. They're getting vomited on. They get abused. Like all trying to do the job and do the right thing and help someone.
Yeah.
We had this incident about a month ago now where there was a 6 month old. Fell on his head and went unconscious, and you know the boys were there. There was a off duty nurse there at the time, and Harry's came over, and I was there too. And Harry's bag masked the baby up, and then paramedics came from everywhere. You know, like we're so lucky to live in Australia where shit goes wrong. People are right there. There was about four ambos, police cars. Within 10 minutes. The rescue chopper is just flying in. Like, it was something out of a movie. Like, and I'm like a little kid. How good's this?
This is what I signed up for.
Yeah. And then, you know, you're in the best hand. Like, this kid's got the best possible chance for these guys there.
Yeah.
Anyway, it landed in the golf course, and the highway patrol cars are flying up there to pick them up. They come back down and they hop out of the car. But, you know, they are so casual. Like you see us going to a rescue, like it's 100 miles an hour sprinting in, you know, like not slow motion, but we're going quick. And you go there and then you see a paramedic turn up. They never run. You never see a paramedic running.
No matter how much,
you know, we'll be doing a resus and you'll be there pumping on the chest and you look up and you see paramedics walking down. But that's what they're trained to do. They don't want to miss anything. Control themselves, and when they come into the situation, the way they handle themselves is incredible. They go, right, guys, well done. You're doing a good job.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Or they say, maybe just try this, sweet ass. And they come in, they'll, you know, administer the adrenaline, put the machines on. Like, seeing people
like that.
Is that
like a calming?
It is so calming.
They diffuse the situation.
You imagine like them coming, oh my God, shit, Jesus Christ. Like, oh God.
Oh, fuck, get us the sack.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just, you know, it's amazing to see that. And, you know, like it's for me, like I see my colleagues do rescues and I go, wow. Like I froth out, like I'm a family. I go, that was sick. Like, you know, and that's why that camaraderie down there, you know, at night, you know, one of the boys had a rough incident yesterday, you know, you message him, hey mate, well done today. Give me a buzz if you need anything. Or, you know, we go for a feed and, you know, I think that's really important. The Stone Age. Yeah, it is. You know, it's really special. And I'm thankful to be part of a workplace like that. And like even now, we get the counselling service now that are provided by our employer. It's called like mental health first aid. And we're so lucky because I don't think many emergency services get this opportunity. And they come down and actually how to deal with things on our own. Like they're still there to support us, but they teach us techniques.
Give you the tools,
to check ourselves, which is bloody amazing, you know. And I think, you know, a lot of employers should be doing that for, you know, the employees because you know, it makes them, you know, better at work, makes me better at work, but also makes me a better person outside of work. Pretty cool.
How good's that?
Now Pete, I've got one more.
Yeah, mate.
I know we're probably getting to it and it'd be remiss not to talk sharks.
Oh.
I grew up petrified of sharks and I used to love the ocean, and now I spent a month up on a beach up in New South. We're in New South Wales now, right?
Yeah.
But I'm finding it harder and harder to to get in the water, man. I'm petrified of sharks.
Yeah.
What's Bondi? Is Bondi...
Sweet.
It's no dramas?
None. We don't have any dramas.
No shark spottings, no nothing.
We have... every now and then you get these grey nurses that come in.
Yep.
And they're like the vegans of the sea. They don't even want to know you.
Well, they're not going to eat me.
Yeah. And they... and it's... I think with us, which has been difficult in the last, three, 4 years, is drones.
Yeah.
Everyone's got drones and they'll fly, go, oh, there's a shark and all that. And the thing is, like, people aren't marine biologists. Like, they say, there's a great white shark. You go back in the footage and it's like, mate, it's not even 3 foot. It looks like a kingfish.
You know? It's a shadow.
But also, you know, drones are an amazing tool because they've also saved lives as well up and down the coast. But, you know, like, it is the ocean. It is their home. But to be honest, I actually don't even think about them
it
now.
It doesn't cross your mind.
Look at Australia. How many shark attacks are there in Australia?
I feel like they're getting a bit more frequent, aren't they? This year down in Victoria, down the coast, wasn't there was great white spotted recently.
Spotted,
like,
but did it attack?
Over the Christmas period.
Are you talking about the seal they saw?
No, elephant seal? That was over in Mornington.
But I think, you know, it's probably got more chance of probably getting, like, it's one of those things, more chance of getting hit by
There's more chance of you, you know, having a coconut pulling your head and killing you. That's the type of thing, you know? That's an actual stat.
Dude, Harrison, man, and Pete will back me up there. If the coconut's going to hit someone on the fucking head, dude, make no mistake, she's going to hit me on the head too, man.
But, you know, like, you got to look how many people use the ocean.
The last
shark attack at Bondi, I think, was 2008. The guy was surfing at night. It was raining, so the water's dirty, and it was paddling through a bait ball, all the fish, and it got his arm and bit his arm.
I'm not even going to count that one.
So it was a mistake.
I'm not even going to count that one.
But you think, you know, the millions of people that visit Bondi a year ago.
Yeah.
So,
and this one dude 8 years ago.
Yeah.
8 years
random
ago.
Random timing. Oh, sorry. Yeah, long. Yeah,
yeah, longer. Yeah.
15 years ago. That doesn't even count.
We used to go with Channel 10. There's the Rottnest Island Swim over in Perth. So we used to have a team that go and swim that.
Yeah.
And, you know, like.
Yeah, that's
when you go to Perth, it's different waters over there. And so it's a 20K swimmer in a team of four, and we hop in our boat.
And you swim out to Rotto.
Yeah, we swim to Rotto, and it's fun. You go out there, the island's a party, everyone's in their Speedos, it's sick. You
pad a few quokkas.
A few quokka selfies. and you go over there, and they're like, you know, you're egging all the boys on, like, oh, you know, like, you get at the start, you're all grouped up, and then you start getting isolated, and you're by yourself, you're like, oh, what's there? But you can see the bottom the whole way across, and there's never been an issue. And, you know, I've done that 5 times now, and it's actually little jellyfish there that give you zaps, and they zap you heaps that you actually takes your mind off the sharks.
Like, it's so you're more worried about
them, like, shit, bastard got me. So look, it's they're everywhere, probably. But, you know, like, I went up with Tourism Northern Territory about a couple of years ago, and went up right at the top there and did a really cool trip around there, you know, of crocodiles and all that.
Yeah,
I was losing it with snakes. Like, mate, those things kill you. Like, you're walking through bushland, you don't know where they go. Like, that's Australia.
Welcome. It's crazy.
But I'm shit scared of spiders.
Same. No, I'm not anymore. I used to be.
Yeah.
I hate reptiles, man. I honestly couldn't touch a snake, man. There's not enough money in the world for me to just go like that to a fucking snake, man. It just wigs me out. That's how much it wigs me out, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate little creatures, animals, and shit, like there's, we had a rat in the skate bowl at Bondi.
Yeah.
It went down in the big bowl, and it was when they were filming. And so, mate, I hate spiders, hate, you know, rats, mice, anything.
Fish?
I can't even touch fish.
Same, dude.
Works me out.
Same.
Yeah. And they're so slippery. Oh, God. Anyway, so they're there, and there's kids coming, going, oh, there's a rat in the skate bowl. Can you get it out? Normally I'd go,
you guys do everything, man.
Oh, no,
and anyway, so there's a camera crew there, and I'm like, bloody oath I can.
Just a rat.
So we went there, we go in the buggy, and they got the camera guys with me, and it was just me, and I'm like, oh, I guess it's going to be easy. So we get there, and there's like a full audience. It's like 50 people. It's all the kids after school, and and all the mums and dads are up there watching, and got my little bucket and a broom. I'm like, yeah, sweet. And like, I felt 10 foot tall and bulletproof because there's a camera crew behind me, you know, like, it makes you feel good. Oh, I've got this. Anyway, so I slide down into the big bowl, and it's just me and this rat far out.
And the rat was alive.
Mate, alive. Oh.
Mate,
what were you planning on doing? Chasing it?
Well, I was going to jump in the bucket.
I had to put it in the bucket and get it out.
Oh, yeah.
Mate, I turned to water. I'm just going, shit, yeah, what do I do now? Anyway, so slide into the bowl once again. And I've got like this plastic container and the broom. And I go there, and next minute the thing just charges at me. I drop the broom, I drop the I drop the bucket, and I'm out that big skate bowl. And mate, the noise, like doing like that. I'm going, shit, Jesus. And everyone's laughing. That was the best thing. The camera crew's got it. And then anyway, the rat actually jumped into the bucket itself. And I'm like, oh, so I went to go kind of slide down, and this little six-year-old just gets down there and just puts a lid on it for me. And I just come down and just make sure it's locked and just walk out of there like a hero in front of the cameras. And this little six-year-old just made me look the best ever.
Well, my six-year-old, I'll tell you, I don't know if I've told this story on the pod before, but I was fishing last Christmas on jet ski with my mate. I'm not a big fisherman, but me and my best mate Dingo, who is a fisherman, and had my little fella who was seven, right? And we're fishing the day before, and we're ripping in flatties, right?
Yeah,
no dramas. Me and my little fella, we actually had two rods. Me and my little fella had the rods in, we're ripping up flatties, and he was taking them off, and whatever. It was almost like a production line. We're doing that well in fishing, right? Dingo goes home, my little fella buzzing on fishing, like, we've got to go again, dad, we're going fishing. Like, I'm not much. You know, but he was like, just kept asking. All right, so let's go. We went back to the same spot. We're there, and I pull in the first flatty, and it dawned on me, who the fuck's taking this flatty off the hook, man? Because I ain't doing it. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Have I told this story before? And I'm sitting there, and I'm true as I sit here, man. Like, there's no way I was taking this flatty off the hoodie. So I looked at me little fella. He's seven. I've gone, all right, AC. You know what I mean? Grab him, grab the flatty off, and he's looked at me. He's like, not gonna happen, man. You know what I mean? Like, that's your job, dad. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I'm sitting here in a predicament, got this flatty on a hook, thinking, well, we can't fish anymore. We can't, well, what are we gonna do, man? Like, I'm just holding it over the side, thinking, I have to. I got my t-shirt. I remember Dingo had said to me the day before, you grab their mouth or whatever. And I'm like, this is no good, man. So I had to get my t-shirt like this. And I got this. The flatty was literally as under, so it was like that.
I would have cut the line.
We didn't have any. Like, I'm just a non-fisherman. Anyway, we caught the flatty. It fell off as I did that, and I said to AC, I go, well, that's it, mate. We're done.
That's it. Let's go for a jet ski ride.
We're done. We got no one's taking them off. We're done. So we packed it up and we went home. So I'm the same as you, petrified and slimy fish and blue tongue lizards and all of that shit, man.
Yeah. Australia, eh? How good.
Australia.
Aussie. Hazza, this has been an awesome talk, man.
No, cheers. Thanks for having me.
Awesome, man.
Yeah.
We've been Sydney-fied.
The life-saving and into the mattresses.
Yeah, but you wouldn't really expect that, would you?
No, not at all.
Lifeguard into mattresses. It's good. It's different, and it's been a full journey, and I'm so lucky.
Well, when you launch in Melbourne, whether it's in 1 year, 2 years, three years, come down and we'll do another pod in Melbourne and we'll do
a podcast in bed.
We'll do it in the bed. We'll do something, man.
We'll do 100%. I reckon I'm going to get one because I'm not going to the shop, and you reckon it's the grouse.
If not, you got 100 nights to send it back anyway.
100 nights, send it
and
back.
And a 10-year warranty.
I was
going
to ask about that, right? Because that's always been an online strategy to offer a refund.
It's like the ticket to the game. Like, everyone, you
have
to
do it, man. You have to do it, man, because you have to take the risk. Otherwise, you're asking the customer to take the risk. Yep. I want to make money off you, but you just need to take the risk for it. You know?
Yep.
So you're debunking it and taking the risk. What have you found? Like, what have you guys found? Because we've had conversations about this before, and I've always said to PK that the way that it works is, you're always going to get people that are going to return it, but the reality is you might make six extra sales from offering that, but you only get two returns, right? Mm. And most people are good. Most people, Australian...
If your product stacks up, they're not going to want to give it up, are they?
Yeah, but some people are still dodgy anyway, right? Mm. Like, people are always...
Well, they get a free bed for a couple of months and send it back.
Well, but it's a bit different with the bed, maybe, than clothing or whatever. But, what's that been like? It's only been 3 weeks, but have you had any returns or...
No, no returns.
Zero returns.
People,
beautiful.
But, you know, like, there's always going to be people who are going to send it back. It's part of life.
Yep.
They reckon it's about 8% return rate.
Yep.
Reckon ours is going to be about 3%.
beautiful.
Which is, you know, massive. You think about nothing.
Yeah, because I feel like
beds. Set up a bed, man.
Yeah, I feel like beds aren't ones that people are returning just because.
If I could be bothered, I'd be returning my bed right now.
Yeah, I think.
Even if they're not giving me money back, I'm returning it. Putting it on their doorstep. Go, you guys worry about it.
That dude, shut. He's coming back. Close the door. He's coming. Remember that dude? We got him.
The thing is, as I said, and I didn't even say it to all my mates, like, sleep is so crucial. Like, but you spend time. And the other thing as well, like, it's all high density living in Sydney. Like, it's all apartments and all that. You think you got flatmates and you're in a 2-bedroom unit. You think about, like, even lockdown and all that. Like, imagine people in a 3-bedroom unit and they've got their missus and all that living with them. There's 6 people in the house. Like, mate, there's no such thing as a living room. Like, yeah, even flatmates, because the smouch, I can't even speak. The couches are small and all that. Yeah. You got to share. So the bedroom is actually people's living room now. You think about what you do in bed. People are eating in bed. You go to watch your TV.
Eating, working, TV, movies.
So much time on that bed.
Yeah.
Like, it's a no-brainer. And it's you know, like, it's a grudge purchase. It's like anything. Like, oh, I have a TV. I'm due for a new one. Oh, like, my one's all right. I can still watch TV. And you hold on to it. And you get one. You're like, what was I waiting those 3 years for? Yeah. It's like same with beds. You know, like... It's like that, you know, you go and sleep in a hotel, you go, oh, how good's that hotel feeling bed, you know, and you go back to your normal one, you're like, oh yeah, back to reality. Like,
reality is you could just get one.
You could have one.
You could have one. And it's not even that bad.
I know.
2100.
I know, but you think about, you know, the money people blow on certain things that are just ridiculous, you know, and then, you know, they probably go on a week's holiday, you know, it'd be more than that. But then for the, you know, the other 51 weeks of the year, they're just suffering.
Oh, it's making me feel bad. I'm about to plug in, put an online order on. Hazza, I've got a question, right?
Yep. This doesn't sound good. I'm in trouble, aren't I?
Pretty serious, isn't it?
What are you getting up on the computer here, mate?
I need to know. So 28, lifeguard, tanned, good-looking rooster.
Started at 18.
28, 10 years. Where are we? What's the scene like? You know, like, are you single? Are you got a girlfriend? Like, man, I'd imagine the beach would be chock-a-block full of girls, hot girls, and you're hanging out with them all day.
Mate, I just look at the red and yellow flags and the rips. I don't look anywhere else.
The cameras are off.
Mate, I'm actually single. It's weird. And, like, obviously, you know, you actually... surprisingly get asked that question quite a lot, you know, oh, you have girls come up to you and all at the beach. You actually don't. And the reason is, as well, we discuss this at work, you know, great lengths on those rainy days. Imagine, are we still single? But you look as well, like, people go, you're around it and all that. But, like, we wear a uniform, we drive a buggy, we stand out. Like, a girl's not going to come up in front of everyone. And also, as well, we're not going to do that to them.
Because you can't do it.
End of the day, like, we're professional. You want to, you know, if someone sees you doing that, it's unprofessional. And people actually go down to the beach to enjoy themselves, to get away. You don't know what people are going through.
So you're telling me you'd never been asked out?
Yeah.
I'm not copping this.
I'm not copping this. No one, for the record, no one said picking up down the beach. But...
a young lady.
The Bondi nightlife. You know, you're hanging out down at the Bondi Hotel, PK.
Man.
Oh, if you're at the...
And he's a celebrity.
If you're
the
Bondi...
You've got the remnants of the zinc still. You haven't been able to get all the zinc
yet. He's on TV.
Yeah, man. Like, come on.
If you're at Bondi Hotel, you're in trouble, mate, on Friday night.
Has it been good? Yeah, I've had a good run.
Look, I've met a lot of people, you know, relationships or not, you know, it's part of the job down there, you know, you meet people from all walks of life, which is pretty cool. Mate, I'm still single and, like, you know, I've had
battle. You're single because you want to be.
Mate, I've had the best of both worlds and to this day, hands down, best being in a relationship. You know, like, I'm definitely ready for that next part.
Awesome. Having like
someone
there.
We've had a relationship, boy.
We've had a good chat.
Good
today,
chat, you know. Yeah. Like, I've been
the
through
a young lady you take home to mum.
Yeah, I don't. I said best of both worlds. And, you know, like, a lot of the older guys who are married at work, you know, they try and live life through the younger blokes and get stories
and Reedy,
out on a Monday.
Reedy's like full. I've spoken to him a few times.
Yeah.
And he's... he's full family, man.
Mate, he's got...
I don't think I've ever spoken to someone that's been so family, and we didn't really know each other.
Yeah.
And that was came across loud and clear, man.
He's an amazing, like, he's got an amazing wife, you know, Kate, and you know the kids. Hard shots, like 100 miles an hour, three of them, like crazy. And it's quite, you know, I don't have kids, and you know, I love seeing them, like, you know, guys, even Whippet's family, you know, go and see them once a week, the most amazing people, and you know, have fun with the kids. And then I get to go home by myself and like see, trying to put them to sleep. Like, mate, hats off to the dads and all that, you know, dads and mums. Like,
dad of four.
Wow. Geez. Hands on. Like, mate, I'm still trying to look after myself. As I said, I moved over here when I was 18. And thank God for barbecues, mate. That's the only thing that saves me. It was quite funny, actually, when I first moved over here. And it was when Uber Eats first came out. And I organized a date and I said, look, I'm gonna cook this girl a dinner. She goes, yeah, sweet. And I said, like, how do you feel about Mexican? And I'm like, she goes, yeah, that sounds great. I'm like, perfect. So there was a Mexican place just opened up down on Hall Street, Fonda. So I'm like, they're on Uber Eats, perfect. So I got it Uber Eats, got the delivery coming, and I put it in the oven, like put it in all the baking crates to make it look like I had made it. Anyway, I'm just like, bottle of wine, need a bottle of red. So I'm like, ran around the corner of the bottle store. I'm like, oh, get a nice one. I'll get this one. Sweet as. Come in, get the music going. Sweet as. Comes in. Hey, how are you? Sorry. I just thought I'd get it ready. Thought you'd be hungry from work and pull it out. Like, she wasn't on to it. But like, imagine she goes, I was at that place last night. Like, it looks familiar. Anyway, would you like a glass of red? She goes, that'd be great. Got it. And it was a corkscrew. And I didn't have the corkscrew opener. And I'm going, oh, this is so embarrassing. She's like, look at me, like, what are you going to do? And I'm thinking, far out. I'm like, back to the bottle store. So I'll be back in 2 minutes. Run down the road to the bottle store. I go, mate, how many have you got a corkscrew? And I go, yeah, mate, sweet. Open it up back there, sweet. But yeah, mate, well, you know, there's always stories and all that.
Listening to that, this guy hasn't done one rodeo, you know what I mean? That's right. Guy's an operator.
Hence why I'm still single. No one's in there doing me. He goes, if they go into this guy's place for dinner, it's just bloody soggy nachos.
Mate, that's awesome. Brixton, don't you get too excited, young single man there. already in with dad. Yeah. Oh, boys. All right, Hazza. Might be in touch for a bed.
Yeah. Anything else you want to shout out or plug?
No, just mate, thanks for having me. It's probably my first podcast. It's first podcast ever done, and it's quite cool because even just saying this is just the journey of lifeguarding and all that, and credit to, you know, all the other guys I work with. You know, they're all amazing lifeguards, and they do special things, and that's just not with, you know, Bondi and, you know, the Waverley lifeguards. It's also lifeguards around the country and around the world. Absolutely. You know, like, you know, we get comments, you know, come past, you know, oh, how good's your job, eh? You know, bludgers kind of thing. But they don't know, they've probably been to an incident around the corner. It's been pretty severe. Like,
yeah.
You know, they go, you know, they're amazing person, people, man. Lifeguards.
Yeah, special,
you know,
people.
You know, 100%. Said, we don't do it, you know, you don't do it for money.
Correct,
no,
man.
It's a lifestyle. And it's, you know, people blow up, you know, oh, I can swim, you know, like piss off kind of thing, which they can. But it's also the other people that can't, they see them swimming, so they go, I'm going to swim in that spot. And then there might not be a lifeguard there. That person gets out and they get into trouble.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're just on a witch hunt. There's actually method to our madness. And, you know, and I always respect it's, you know, anything, you know, emergency services, you know, whatever in life, you know, listen to the professionals.
And I want to close out and say that I feel like you're one of the exceptions in life that the really, really lucky that you found a passion when you were younger. And you never wavered from it. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, exactly.
Because I feel like that's the exception, not the rule. Does that make sense?
Exactly.
Like you're,
it's like my gap year that kept on going.
Yeah.
And
I remember
I went to a school. It was a high school, and it was there, and it was the end of year, and you had to go to these events and all that. And I remember I was head of house, and I had to wait for the new kids to come in, and I had to meet the parents. And they were so fascinated about what uni you're going to go to. And they come to me, what uni are you going? You're going to Otago, you know, or you do law, you do med. I said, no, I'm going to go to Bondi and be a lifeguard. And they go, yeah, but what are you going to do after that? Like, that's just for the summer. I said, no, this is a full-time job. Yeah. They couldn't get their heads around it. And you know, that's where that society's changing. Like, you know, like, obviously you have to go to uni for some things, but the message for me is, if you're not sure, don't commit to something, sign up to a degree you don't know what you don't want to do. You know, like it's you know go and travel, you know, go and get a job somewhere else, do something different.
Things,
don't lock
yourself
if you're not sure.
Yeah,
don't do that. And like, as for me, like I'm the first one, like, you know, thanks, you know, to my mum and dad. Like, I owe them for everything.
They're,
you know,
legends.
That, legends. They've supported
16,
me.
They let you move country, dude.
Yeah, 18. And then, you know, they've supported me and I couldn't have done it without them. But, you know, they could have gone, no, you're not going to be a lifeguard. You know, you're going to do this. They let me live my passion and I'm so thankful.
Your dad got you an apprenticeship. You start on Monday.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, and that's where I've been, you know, very, very thankful.
Yeah. No, awesome, Has. Love it. Love it. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up. Like, share, subscribe. Anyone that's going to get value out of it, please do it. See you at the top.
That was sick, man.
How good.
Stick around. It's going to be a good ride.